Hello and welcome to Starting From The Pits. Today I am joined by such an exciting guest. It's the one and only Tatiana Calderon. How are you?
Oh, thanks so much for the invitation. I'm very good. I'm back in Madrid. It's been a very busy start of the year for me, but now it's a little bit more quiet, so happy to be able to join you.
Yeah, and much nicer weather there, I can imagine, than here.
Well, you'll be surprised. It's been like rainy, cold, and I'm like, what's happening? Spain is supposed to be very sunny, but now the weather starts to be good. So let's hope we can enjoy spring. You were on a race last week, right? Like,
yes, it was rainy, horrendous.
Looked that way.
Yeah, I was wet to the bone. It took me about several hours to get warm again.
Oh God, at least you're not sick at the moment, so that's good.
Exactly. So I was thinking about this earlier. Usually when I go into an interview, I kind of have an intention behind what I would like people to get out of the interviews, whether it's how the person got into their career or how the season is going. But with you, I feel like I just want to share how incredible you are.
Oh, no, you're too kind. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a long but cool journey so far.
Yeah, so you've driven in so many series so successfully as well, but let's talk about the start of your career. How did you get into racing and how did it all come about for you?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, like I was 9 years old when my older sister Paula, who's managing me now for several years, she took me to a rental go-kart track near her house and we bought a 5-minute ticket and we fall in love with it. So I was going there every day after school and on the nights, and it was like by the time Juan Pablo Montoya was reaching Formula One, so everybody in Colombia was like following his races, and
yeah.
I kind of had inspiration of where I wanted to aim, and my story with motorsports is like every day I love what I do more. It's tough, but I think it's like love at first sight.
Yeah, and what was it about that first time when you stepped in that car? Can you remember that feeling?
Yeah, I felt like free for some reason. Like, you know, you're there and you're taking the decisions, and you've got all these feelings that come through the tires, through your body, and that feeling of, you know, like the limit is further than what you think. So you just pass one corner and you think next lap I can go quicker, and then you challenge yourself every time. And I think that's what really caught my eye, like the going quicker and exploring what I thought were my limits every time.
I love that way that you've just put it across as being free. I feel so many people often say it's the adrenaline, it's the speed, but the way you put it is so beautiful.
It's like you're in charge, you take the decisions, and you're there quiet, but you're taking everything. I kind of like sometimes like to compare it like with music in a way, in like in an orchestra. You're the director, and it's like the way you move your body through the car, the way you tell it that you're going to slow down, and the amount of steering you put in, and every lap is different. So it's amazing.
I love that. So as I said, you've driven in so many different series, but obviously we can't talk about them here, right? All of them today, that would take us a lot of time. So what would you say are the three highlight series for you that you've driven in, and what makes them so special?
Oh, that's a really good question, because I feel very fortunate to have driven all around the world. But I would say, like, obviously, testing a Formula One car and racing in Formula Two was, like, very special. And in many ways, I learned a lot, and it built my character quite a lot as well. As a child growing up, driving a Formula One car was incredible. Then I would say like Super Formula was also like a huge challenge, because I had never been to Japan. We signed to do it and it was in the middle of the pandemic, so with all the quarantines and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Le Mans is something unique and very, very special that I hope I get to experience more times. But I would say that, and obviously, I would put the last one, it's IndyCar, because I really, like, I was raising my idol, Montoya, and people that I watch growing up on TV. So it's a really cool series, and I would love to get the chance to go back there.
Amazing. So let's talk, obviously, your testing time in the Formula One car. How did that come about? And then also, when you stepped in that car, what was the biggest difference that you noticed from previous cars that you've driven?
Yes, I remember that build-up, because I think I had a really good year in GP3, and I had one race in the 3.5 V8 in Bahrain, where I was on the podium, and that was, like, at that time, it was that and GP2, like, the closest cars to Formula 1. So that was, like, my ticket of, like, demanding a Formula 1 test, so to say. So I think that really helped me get that that opportunity. And to drive, obviously, for the first time, like, in Mexico, you know, I had no, like, I had, there were a lot of PR people coming. It was only, like, 20 laps, so 100K that I was allowed to do. It was a track that I didn't know. So I only did, like, a little bit of simulator and a safety car lap on the weekend before the race. So there was a lot of pressure, but I, you know, everything was built for me, because I went to the workshop, and we did the seat, which was, yeah, just the way they all look at the very little details in Formula One. And then with the engineers, they made me feel like home, and they really prepared me well for that moment. There's still a lot of pressure, and, like, those cars are unbelievably quick. I hadn't done Super Formula by the time I jumped in this car, but I would say it's the closest car to Formula One is the Super Formula. But it's just the amount of things that you gotta think while you drive 300K on a Formula One car is unbelievable. The acceleration is crazy. So a lot of preparation for that day.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously we now know that you're endurance racing. And as this podcast has kind of progressed, I've been able to manage to speak to a few different drivers who have all made that transition to endurance racing. But I'd like to know your story from single seaters to where you are today, because everybody seems to have a different story of how it all came about.
Yes, I was fortunate enough to be considered for the Richard Mille program. That's how I really got introduced to endurance racing, in an LMP2 car, and together with Sofia. First it was Catherine, and then Baitske, who joined later on. But it was, we had this test day in Bahrain, and with the whole idea of the program was so interesting, like, to show what we can do without people, like, having an excuse to see whether we were quick or not is because we had a male in the car. So it was kind of cool to share with other girls that on that program. And I was surprised how underestimated endurance sometimes is still these days, because you gotta be a very complete driver. Like, you gotta adapt, you gotta compromise, because there's other two or three people driving with you, so the setup is never gonna be the one you want, but you gotta adapt. You drive at 12 and then at midnight, and then the traffic, and people think that you're like preserving the car, but you're flat out the whole time. Trying not to lose time on your average with the GT cars and the LMP3 cars. So it's crazy, and it's so much fun that I was glad I was, like, sort of introduced to it that way. The LMP2 car as well. But yeah, I think it's a different approach and mentality of people there. Everyone's a bit more relaxed. Like, in single seaters, you're looking at every very little detail, and you want to control everything. And here you have, a bit more to be friendly with other people and with your teammates. Of course, you want to be quicker, but you're in a different atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess I feel like with endurance racing, because you drive for the number of a car, it's a team experience. Whereas in single seaters, it is you, the driver, it's just you. And I feel like that kind of comes across in terms of fans. We all appreciate the team a lot more. And also the team appreciate you guys a lot more as well.
Yeah, I think it's a completely different approach. And still, like in single seaters, you know, there's so many people working to get you up there. But yeah, it just feels really nice when you can share it with some other people and to get to experience that, you know, three persons ride the exact same car. Like, then you can really, like, judge a lot of things because, like, sometimes in single seaters, even if you're in the same team, it is a different car, essentially. So, yeah, it's cool to experience that.
Yeah. What would you say have been some compromises you've had to make being in a team with other people? Obviously, your setup's not quite the same. How have you had to change your driving style to that?
Yeah, that and the seat position sometimes is like, okay, when you can reach the pedals, the other one is like eating the steering wheel and you're like, oh gosh, how can I like not make a sofa but still reach the pedals? Yeah. And you only realize when you do like 24-hour races because you're in the car so much and you're so tired and you're like, that lower back, I'm feeling it now and in no other race I felt it. Yeah. That's one of the compromises. Then obviously, you know, there's always these, you want to have new tires at least during practice ones, right? But the team at the end decides who gets them. And there's no better feeling than driving new tires and low fuel. But endurance, that's irrelevant. So sometimes you miss that. And yeah, the setup. Sometimes like you like to a direction you want to go to towards, but somebody else maybe doesn't feel that way and drives in a different way than you, and you got to do the best for the whole team. So yeah, it's a lot more strategy going into it than on track as well.
Definitely. So you've had a lot of firsts in your career. First woman to win a karting championship in Colombia, first woman to stand on the podium in the British F3 International Series. Which of these firsts stands out the most to you, and how does it feel to be such a role model to so many girls?
Yeah, I wish there were more coming growing up. You know, it's like, it's great to be the first one, but we need more, because the more data we gather, the more normal it becomes to be a woman in this sport. But I feel such big privilege and like a good pressure to represent women in this sport. Now with social media you know, I get a lot of messages from young girls or their parents like saying that they got inspired and they want to become or be like me. And that is an incredible feeling. I also like started coaching recently as well, like some amazing young girls in karting, and it's great that, you know, women supporting women, it's something I feel very privileged about. And hopefully we can start to change things from the numbers starting in karting, you know. That's what I want to be remembered for as well.
Yeah.
And I want to continue to fight for better opportunities for us.
Yeah, and definitely working from the ground at karting level and upwards, it's going to always just bring, if you've got more at the bottom, you can have more at the top, aren't you?
Definitely. And I think also it comes to a point where it's not just about the numbers. Like, there's got to be, we gotta be taking more in consideration in many things that have been moving and that the sport is deciding on, because we are not the same. We are different. It's not better or worse. We are just construct. Our bodies are different. The way we think, the way we operate, the way we feel is different, and people gotta adapt to us too. It can't be just that we adapt to the circumstances or to everything that has been done for the whole history of the sport. But now it's time to look at to look at it in a different way.
I love that. I love that. So speaking of the fans, I asked my followers to submit some questions for you. So are you ready?
Already fired up.
Amazing. Okay, so first question. This feels quite a heavy one to start off with, but are you happy to be in endurance racing? And are there any other series that you'd like to try?
Well, honestly, I have a lot of fun when I do endurance, and it has helped me become a much better and much complete driver. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to lie, I love single-seaters, and okay, I would love to get another chance at IndyCar. Let's put it that way.
Okay, love that. Another follower wants to know, do you hang out with your teammates off track? If so, what do you get up to?
Yes, we do. So, like, this year, Sheena has made us, like, some pizza with a proper oven. With Catherine, I've been Daytona. We went running in the beach with her dog. And there's a really, like, nice atmosphere. Yeah, we hang out and we go for coffee and stuff like that.
That's so cute. That's so wholesome. I love it. So when you are traveling, what are your three essentials you must take with you?
Ooh, good question. You know, I'm one of those persons that on my back, I have like literally everything.
Your whole life.
Like, but to pick three, geez. Obviously, my helmet, because mm-hmm. you never know when you're going to get a call. So the hands.
Love that.
And some comfortable shoes, because wow, I think that yeah. makes a huge difference.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else? One more thing.
Melatonin. If I travel like for the jet lag, that's quite an important one for me.
Okay, love that. Love that. Another one, final one. If you could partner with any brand, who would it be and why?
Wow.
Quite a good question.
I shouldn't say this, but, you know, like growing up, when you look at Ferrari, mm-hmm. you know, that red car, and I think I would love to be part of Ferrari at least once.
I love that. Everyone's a Ferrari fan.
I don't know why. It's like... The red, I'm pretty sure they picked up that the color of obsession. I don't know. It has something.
Yeah, that, definitely.
That horse.
There's an emotion behind it, 100%.
Definitely.
So I've done some reading, and I read that you spend 21 hours a week training. That's some dedication. What does your week of workouts look like for you?
Yeah, like when I was like preparing my F1 test and the F2 and IndyCar being such like physical cars to drive, and because you don't get to drive them very often, mm-hmm. Like any other sport you can do daily, this, you know, you gotta do a lot of work behind mm-hmm. the scenes. So a lot of like the upper body strength, the neck, the forearms, mm-hmm. your shoulders. But also like some cognitive and mental training, like reactions with the lights. I have some apps for the cognitive training while I do cardio, for example. So you're multitasking in a way. And then the simulator as well is a very powerful tool that we use these days. So that's where all those hours... are spent, because yeah, when you're gonna drive the car, you make sure that nothing is bothering you in terms of like the physical side and the cognitive side, and you gotta be taking the opportunity to drive to actually make the car better mm-hmm. for your driving style. So it's, you gotta do all this work before.
100%. Definitely. And obviously with all that working out, you need some caffeine to keep you going. We've seen you're a very big coffee fan. What is your go-to order?
Oh, yes. So it's my taste for coffee has been developed through the years. So right now, when the coffee is really good, like a filtered coffee, a pour over is really nice. But with milk, I like a flat white. With nice. Oat milk is one of my favorites. But yeah, I kind of like I find the similarities with racing. Like, you know, it's in all the details, like how you prepare that coffee. It's a ritual, and it's gotta be, everything's gotta be perfect for the perfect cup of coffee. So, I think I like that.
Do you have any pre-race rituals?
I listen to Carl G songs before I jump in the car, and I always warm up in the same way. It's like that repetition that, and I do some things with the balls, so I know if I'm a bit anxious or if I need to wake up more. So I kind of develop this. This routine that helps me identify how I'm feeling and what I need to be doing before. So yeah, that's what I do.
Amazing. And finally, back on the track this year, you're with Gradient Racing. How are you finding that?
Well, this is my first season in GT racing. It was like my first time driving the Acura. It's a very competitive field in GT as well. Like, it's incredible how close everybody is. Some amazing tracks, because the US has some like old school, really bumpy
Sebring
bumpy tracks. So it's been great, honestly. It's a different, like, you know, the traffic, for example, in an LMP2 car, you're like trying to overtake people, and here you're like sort of blocking them because you're your less lowered car. So it has, like, I'm still adapting to it, but I'm in a great atmosphere. The team has done a great job to help me get up to speed, so I'm grateful to be part of Gradient Racing.
Yeah, and obviously you're in a team of mostly women as well, 3 out of 4 drivers, am I right in saying that?
You are absolutely right.
Yeah, so I feel like this is why endurance racing needs to be talked about more, because you're essentially at the top level of what you are doing, and not only are you 3 out of 4, but there's an entire team of women down the road driving this high level. It's just so incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it starts with promoting the women that we already are in the paddock to help inspire the next generation. And to not be forgotten, you know, because it seems like these days people are only looking at what's coming, but we're already there. And to continue to develop and to make the way better for the next generation, you gotta promote and help us too, right? So I feel like there's a big opportunity for women as well in endurance, and I think it's also like a great preparation. We've seen like Hartley going from endurance to Formula One, so it means that the level is extremely high there too.
Yeah, definitely. So finally, I ask all of my guests this question, as I have a Spotify playlist that they can all go and access. So picture this: you're getting ready to get in the car, about to go and race. What is one song you're putting on to get in the zone?
One song. So from Carol G, it's called Machinon. And it's like it's about a Lamborghini, actually. She talks about a Lamborghini, but I think what it means for me to play that song is like pure empowerment. So like woman empowerment, and let's go do it. So that's my song.
I'll add that to the playlist then. And finally, where can we follow you? Where can we find you on social media?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram, TikTok, on Twitter as tatacalde7. My website is tatianacalderon.com. So I try to reply to all the comments and everything, so you can find me or text me there and I'll be replying.
Amazing. Well, best of luck in your next race. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on, and I really hope you had a great time today.
Thank you very much for your time, for the invitation, and hopefully we can inspire more women to join this world.